You're a college student and the summer's coming. You've got a decision to make. Do you make coffee for the CEO at a company, unpaid, and try to work your way up the professional ladder? Or do you do the same thing at Starbucks and actually get paid for it? You're listening to Upset Patterns. Here today to talk with me about internships is Drew Dapprich. Drew, thank you for coming on.
Pleasure to be here, Will. Thanks for having me.
So you've had a couple of internships in your life. Why don't you give us a brief rundown?
Sure. I worked for an apparel company and a startup company my junior and senior year, respectively. Both were paid and fantastic opportunities for me.
Lucky for you, getting best of both worlds. I've also had a couple of internships. One was decently compensated, and the other one was a small stipend. Obviously, a lot of internships are low-paid or unpaid. It seems like this is no secret. People are still taking the internships, hoping that it'll be to their benefit in the long run. So recently, there have been some court cases with interns suing, demanding just compensation. The interns, you know, if you're unpaid or low-paid, not making minimum wage, it seems kind of odd. You're exempt from the labor laws that most jobs are.
Definitely, you're just classified as an intern, and therefore you're, as you said, exempt from minimum wage standards.
Correct. And so a couple of cases lately in the news, Black Swan, the movie with Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis, pretty good dance flick, ballet. Their intern sued claiming that they were working long hours and doing comparable work to full-time employees, but not getting the wages that they felt were justified. And then there are a couple of other ones recently in news.
There was the Charlie Rose case, where Charlie Rose is a TV show on PBS, and he had several interns that sued for basically non-payment.
And their argument was essentially that they were doing comparable work to full-time employees and not being compensated, accordingly.
Right. They in most of these lawsuits, there's going to be the case of they weren't paid, however, they're doing work that benefits the employer.
So it seems that internships aren't held to the same labor standards as regular employment. Nonprofits and the government are, in fact, exempt from paying interns. States like California say that an intern can be unpaid if they receive college credit. So from a 1947 Supreme Court case, Walling versus Portland Terminal, the Department of Labor has come up with six criteria that must be met for an intern to be exempt from the Fair Labor Standards Act, which means giving them minimum wage or most of the employment compensation that we would take for granted. These six criteria, when I read them, are really interesting because I think even if you haven't had an internship, you can tell that they're really not enforced. The first criteria is, quote, the training, even though it includes actual operation of the facilities of the employer, is similar to that which would be given in vocational school, end quote. So that makes sense.
Pretty straightforward on that one.
Number two, quote, the training is for the benefit of the trainee, end quote. That makes sense.
It makes sense. However, it definitely hinges on the term benefit, which is ambiguous and isn't clearly defined, obviously.
Very subjective. So number three, the trainees do not displace regular employees, but work under close observation. I think for me, this seems really odd because the internships I've been in or the companies I've worked at with interns are doing valuable work. And so if those interns were taken out of the picture, they would have to hire regular employees to do that work. Because they're producing valuable work, they're displacing people that would otherwise be employed.
Right, they're doing tasks that need to be done, whether they're done by the intern or somebody who's actually getting paid is slightly irrelevant at that point.
I agree. And working under close observation, it seems interns not being paid a wage, you don't have an incentive to monitor them or make sure that they're doing awesome work. So this also seems like it in practice might not always be followed.
I definitely agree. That's almost never followed.
Well, moving on to number four, the employer that provides the training derives no immediate advantage from the activities of the trainees, and on occasion, the employer's operations may actually be impeded.
Wow. See number three, because as we just discussed, almost any work that's going to be done by the intern will benefit the employer.
I totally agree. And if the intern is not benefiting the employee, then it seems like the employee would have no incentive to even have an internship program.
Right.
And maybe the, you know, the part there, the no immediate advantage. You could argue that if an internship is only a springboard or a trial period to get into future employment, then you could have a case where there's no immediate advantage. But I find that very, very loosely defined. So number five, the trainees are not necessarily entitled to a job at the completion of the training period.
So again, this kind of like touches on number four, where if the intern is doing this under the premise that they're going to get hired or that their work is
valuable in a long-term sense rather than short-term.
Exactly, the point that you mentioned previously, then they're going to be expecting a job. However, according to number five, they're not guaranteed one and shouldn't expect one.
Yeah, and this also seems like a really easy way for an employer to not be held to employ the intern the next year, you know, when they graduate college or at the end of the internship.
Exactly. This gives them carte blanche to use and discard.
Number six, the employer and the trainee understand that the trainees are not entitled to wages for the time spent in training. There's not too much bait and switch in terms of wages for interns. You know, they go into it knowing their stipend, their wages. Perhaps the hours could be unpredictable, but this is probably pretty true.
Yeah, if you sign up for what is noted as an unpaid internship, I'm pretty sure you're not expecting to get paid.
Going through the six of these, some of them are probably practiced in reality. Mm-hmm. Some of them aren't. At the very least, I find some of them to be contradictory. They are loosely enforced in many cases. So why do you think that is?
I think the intern is motivated to get a job, to do whatever it takes to get that job, and so they're going to agree pretty much to anything. The employer, needing work to be done, will of course not strictly follow these rules if it doesn't behoove them to do so, knowing that the government doesn't have the ability to oversee every intern ever.
Yeah, for any complaint or violation of these six things, you need someone to file a complaint or bring it up in court. And if the intern is under the impression that they are taking these low compensated position for a good job position in the future, they're not going to complain. And the employer is getting, they're getting work, even if it's very little, and they're paying little to no wages or non-pecuniary compensation, they're not going to complain either, right? It's in a sense, a very mutual arrangement.
Victimless crime, if you will.
That's one way to put it. Another thing that's more a relevant factor is that the demographic of people that are able to take unpaid or low-paid internships in the summer.
So what do you mean by that?
You have 3 months where you could be making minimum wage or higher at a certain job. Mm-hmm. And for some people, they need that time to make money to save up to spend during the school year. Those on lower on the socioeconomic ladder. So the very privileged class can take a summer off of not making a lot of money in hopes of getting their foot in the door.
All right, I follow you.
A lot of recent studies have showed that social mobility in the U.S. is really at like a historic low. That sort of begs the question, are internships a valuable experience for the employer and the intern, or are they really just another way for privileged college students to get their foot in the door and get these jobs where those that need money for the summer are not padding their resume?
Yeah, those lower on the socioeconomic ladder can't afford, as you said, to give up those 3 months of paid work.
So the status quo right now, keeping these six criteria or whatever present regulations are in place, being enforced as loosely as they are, who do you think benefits and who's harmed?
between the two parties of the employer and the intern, for the most part, I think nobody is harmed. I think the interns take it willingly. They know they aren't going to get paid. There are a few cases where the intern, once they've worked in the position, realizes that this is an actual job and deserves payment. But for the most part, by and large, most people, most interns take their internship, benefit from it, so does the employer. However, as you mentioned, those who are suffering the most are those who don't have even the choice to take these internships.
Along the same lines of the employer and intern benefiting, it is a period of trialability. Mm-hmm. Whenever you hire someone, there's imperfect information of how good of a fit the firm will be and the employee. Those 3 months are a good time period for both parties to see whether this would be a good career path for them. Things that you can't learn in the classroom. You can be lectured all day about advertising or computer programming, but until you get into that relevant office, it's hard to get a good idea of what it's like to be in that industry.
Definitely.
So let's say, hypothetically, you enforce a minimum wage on these interns. And I use the minimum wage as sort of a proxy of saying, enforce the regular labor standards to interns. Because even if these 6 criteria are effectively the law or you have other regulations, because they're so subjective or loosely enforced, it's harder to make them effective. So a minimum wage is an objective criteria saying for every hour you need to make X amount of dollars. Who do you think would benefit from this and who would be harmed?
I think everybody except for the lower class that previously was unable to even consider these opportunities would suffer a little bit from a minimum wage being enforced. The employer would now have to pay more money, or money that they really hadn't been paying in the past. They would have to get rid of jobs as a result, and therefore the interns who would be used to getting those jobs would have less of an opportunity.
And it may be obvious, but I guess it is important to note here that enforcing minimum wage will only directly affect those internships that weren't already making a certain amount of money. And so for those that were paying, I don't know, $20 an hour, what an internship that would be, those will largely remain unaffected.
Of course.
But enforcing a minimum wage would level the playing field. Now you have these college students competing based on merit rather than more so it being about how much financial means they come from. So I think that's one aspect to throw into it. And also, when we were describing the benefits of the status quo, trialability was a big thing. You're getting a good sense of what it's like to work in that office. But how valuable are most of these internships? The low-paid ones or the unpaid ones that happen at nonprofits or government sectors? Are the interns really getting a good sense of it, or is it just to pad their resume? If they are doing well in the future, it might not be because of their experience, it was just because it's another bullet point.
Very true.
Another factor to consider is that if you enforce minimum wage or tighten up these regulations, firms might just find a way around them. So suddenly interns become classified as volunteers, and rather than being low paid or getting a stipend, they're unpaid altogether.
So it sounds like, I mean, from our conversation, that internships are bad, that we're inherently saying that, you know, if you have an internship that you're going to get exploited, that there's little to come from it other than, you know, 3 months of
making coffee.
There you go.
Well, internships can be really valuable. I've enjoyed both of mine, and they gave me a good sense of what it would be like to have a job there. There's also the networking that is involved, or the reference letter, which can be very good for, you know, later in your professional life. So I don't think the argument really should be how valuable are internships. It's where do we want to divide the access? If you maintain the status quo, these low-paid or unpaid internships will be largely only accessible to those that can financially afford it. Obviously, you know, people make sacrifices. I'm not saying it's a clear drawn line. But then there is the trade-off. So if you want to level the playing field, as we say, you're going to probably have some positions lost, or you'll have companies exploiting other loopholes. And so where the ideal trade-off is not so clear.
No, but I think as it stands, the abuses are only going to become more prevalent. More and more companies are catching on to the fact that they can get around some of these laws because they are ambiguous, because these things aren't clearly defined. And until the way an internship is defined and enforced
is more concrete.
Right. It's going to continue to be an issue.
I agree. And we could see more escalations of those lawsuits, like with Fox Searchlight, with Black Swan and Charlie Rose or Gawker. And it could be that very soon we have more explicit regulation that sort of sets the standard a little better. Well, Drew, thanks for coming on today and talking to us about internships.
All thanks right, for having me, Will. Tonight.
Upset Patterns is hosted by Will Comperl from Tequila Mockingbird Studios in Austin, Texas, and produced by Paige Jensen-Slattengren. My guest today has been Drew Dapridge. Want more sources relevant to today's podcast? Have any questions, comments, discussion points, or suggestions for future podcast topics? Visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/upsetpatterns or email upsetpatterns@gmail.com. Everybody's gonna be